So over the last few Sundays, we've been working through what?
Churches of Revelation.
That's right. Easter, crucifixion, the resurrection. So we want to continue on with that to the next thing that once we get going in the direction that God wants us to go, then he has outlined for us specific things and ways that he wants us to do stuff in our life. So in the book of Luke, we're going to be in chapter 24 a little bit. So I want you to go ahead and turn there first. I'm going to read one verse starting out. But in the book of Luke, chapter 24, and I'm going to read verse 49 first. So in the book of Luke, chapter 24, verse 49, here's what he says. And behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, but tarry ye. So this is what we want to focus on today. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So when Christ was teaching this to his disciples, what do you think? Just think about this for a minute. What do you think that Christ wanted his disciples to understand? He was giving them these words right before he ascended into heaven. And then today, as we look at this in our life today, what do you think as believers God wants us to understand as we study these words, these words of truth that God has given unto us? So let's just look for a moment. So we know that God gave all of us, because he gave it to us through his word, he gave us all command to do different things. As we look, tarry ye means a lot of things. It means together, okay? That's one of the things. It means that when you gather together, I want you to wait. And as you wait, I don't want you to just sit around and twiddle your thumbs and have meaningless conversation and talk about your neighbors and gossip. But when you're waiting, he wants it to be to wait expectantly and patiently upon him. He wants us to wait in unity. That means in one accord. He wants us to wait prayerfully, that we're going to wait through prayer, and we're going to make sure that all of these things that we do, we're doing it in the presence of the Lord. We're not doing anything without God's involvement in it. Now, at this time that Christ was returning to be with the Father, about said to be with the disciples. He was leaving the disciples to be with the Father. This is one of the things that he told his disciples. He said, I want you to go and I want you to wait for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. God, Christ at this time, God, they were going to give the Holy Spirit. This is when the Holy Spirit was given unto every one of us during this grace dispensation period. So at this time, that's what it was. Now, today, as believers, so we don't pay much attention to this, because we say the Holy Spirit was already given, but God, we already have this divine power dwelling within us, but yet God still wants us to tarry. He doesn't want us going off doing things without waiting upon him, without waiting upon his empowerment in our life. So why does he want us to tarry? So tarry ye means a whole different thing now. It means that we're to wait to be provided with whatever it is God wants to give to us to be able to go out into the world. So he wants to strengthen us. He wants to give us the ability to be able to act upon those things that he gives to us through the Holy Spirit. And the only way that we can get this is we must be taught. Now, we're not very good self-taught people, so the right way that we're taught is we're taught through God's Word, through the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So he wants us to do all of this before we even attempt to go out and engage or effectively spread the gospel of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So why is this? Is because God knows that as we go out into the world, that we're going to face all kinds of spiritual battles in our life. Now, God would like for us to win them all. Are you going to win them all? No. But God would like for us to win them all. So he's trying to prepare us because he knows that this is a great weight for us to carry, this responsibility to go out and to teach and to preach Christ. So God wants to make sure that he gives unto us the assurance that our life in Christ, we're not just standing in line holding a place. It's just not a position. God didn't say, okay, you stand here while I run to the bathroom. That way when I get back, I get my place back. We're not placeholders. Our position in the Lord, it's not a position, it's a service. It's a service unto God, and it's a service that is sanctified by the divine power of the Lord. And we should look at it that way in our life. We shouldn't just see our place of service as just being a placeholder, but we should take it seriously because it is a responsibility to God. Now, we're still in Luke chapter 24. Just back up with me to verse 46. So it said, and he said unto them, thus it is written, and we're going to get to that in a minute where it's written, but he said, thus it is written, and it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and here's why. Pay attention to this. He said that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. That's our goal. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So this is our commission as our service to the Lord, as being a servant to the Lord. And he said among all nations, they're going to start at Jerusalem because that's where they were gathered and the Holy Spirit was given. And he said, you all are witnesses of these things. Every one of us is a witness to these things. So here's why we're tearing. It's all about the cross. It's all about the crucifixion and the resurrection. We just studied those things. And we've learned those things and we've got them fresh in our mind. So now God wants us to use those things did not happen by accident. Okay? No, it was all planned. And it was a necessity. If it had not happened, you or I today could not be saved. So it was a necessity in our life. So if it was necessary for us to have it, don't you think it would be necessary for us to live it and to act it and to show others about it? So it was necessary for Christ to suffer so that he might achieve salvation for us. And that wasn't the end of it. It was to satisfy God's divine justice for sin. Christ done both those things for us. So, where was it written? Let's go back to Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Starting with verse 3. And here's what it said. And I want you to pay attention to all this because we're going to work up to tarry ye. So, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we what? Hit it. We hit it. Listen to this. He said, we hit it, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised. We esteemed him not. We didn't know what to do with it. We didn't honor him. We didn't glorify him. So here's what he says. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But no matter that we hit it, no matter that we esteemed him not, no matter that we didn't honor him, we didn't glorify him, he said he went ahead and was wounded for our transgressions, for the sins that we committed and are still going to commit. He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace. See, Christ made it all about us. Everybody wants everything to be all about them. This was all about you. This was all about us. He said, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. So what's one thing that we know for sure? Salvation was planned by God. And his focus What he was focusing upon through the crucifixion as a resurrection was to redeem all of humanity. Everybody from Adam clear on through. This was the redemption that we talk about in the Bible through the sacrifice of his son and the resurrection. Now, it didn't end there. Now, we think it ended there. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. That's the end of it. It didn't end there. So once we were saved, then he said he commissioned those that were saved. So we have a responsibility. We have been commissioned, those of us that have accepted his saving grace, we have been commissioned into witnesses to serve as an example to spread the gospel of saving grace throughout the world. How are we doing with that? Not very good, are we? Some days better than others, maybe. But he commissioned us to do this. So the Old Testament, so we have to study the Old Testament in order to understand the New Testament. So the Old Testament does what? It points us directly to Christ. It points us directly to Christ. And it teaches us the significance of what the crucifixion and the resurrection is going to bring. We learn that through the Old Testament so that Christ, once he came, once he was crucified, once he was resurrected, now he's able to send us. Once we accept, he can send us. He can send us out because when he went back, we gained that responsibility. Whatever Christ was doing when he was here upon this earth, it's our responsibility now. And it's our responsibility to continue that. So we're followers then, and we're witnesses, and he supports us through this promise of the Holy Spirit. So that means that in order for this to happen, in order for us to be supported, in order for us to follow after the Holy Spirit, we have to learn to tarry. Now, what does tarry mean now? We've already given you two definitions of it. So what does tarry mean now? It means that we have to lay everything else aside. Everything. And I'll get to everything in a minute. And we have to seek the power of God. Now, you might think, well, I have the Holy Spirit dwelling within me. Why do I need to continually seek the power of God? Because you don't always listen to the Holy Spirit that indwells within us, do we? So we have to seek the power of God so that we can move, so that we can live, so that we can breathe, so that we can proceed in our life in Christ and proceed through the direction of the empowerment of the presence of his Spirit. Philippians. Let's go to Philippians for a minute. Philippians chapter 3, starting with verse 7. So Paul here is going to explain a little bit. I'm going to read you these verses in Philippians, and then we're going to go to Mark. And he's going to explain to you a little bit what it means to lay all else aside and seek after the power of God. So in chapter 3, starting with verse 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me?" Okay, so you think about in your life, what is most important to you in your life? And I can tell you, you're sitting in church, so you're going to say, "Oh, the Lord is." But I can tell you, "Oh, the Lord didn't." So what things were gained to me? You all understand that, don't you? What things were gained to me? He said, "I learned to count those as loss for Christ." I mean, I learned to put Christ, and it took a while, okay? Takes us a while. So he says, "Doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." And here's where a lot of us get in trouble. We're okay with turning things over to the Lord. We're okay with the loss of some things in our life, some things we don't, and we're going to get to those things, the loss of some things in our life. But man, when it comes to suffering, I draw the line. Are you with me?
Amen.
Huh? Yeah, sure we do. But he said, "I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but nothing that I might win Christ." So he said, this is what I've learned. And said, when this begins to take place or happen in my life, then I might be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. Anything that you put before God in your life, and I'm going to give you a list of those things in a minute that Christ himself gave, and you probably ain't going to like the list, but I'm going to give you a list of those things. And he said, anything that I put before Christ in my life is my own righteousness. Has nothing to do with the righteousness of God. So he said, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him. How many of us really know who Christ is or who God is? It depends upon your relationship with God. If it's a distant relationship, you don't know him very well. If your relationship's growing stronger every day, you're getting to know him better every day. So he said that I might know him and the power of the resurrection. Remember this morning we said, what did the resurrection do for us? We're no longer slaves to sin. But we haven't realized that power yet because a lot of us still are what? Slaves to some of the sinfulness that we have in our life. So he said, and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Now, jump with me back in Mark for a minute, and don't get up and leave when I read this. I'll explain it to you. Back in Mark chapter 10, starting with verse 28. Okay, you with me? Mark 10, 28. Said, then Peter began to say unto him, this was Peter's first mistake. He said, lo, he told Christ this. He said, we have left everything and have followed you. How many of us have done that before? Oh, yes, Lord, we turned it all over to you. We're going to follow you faithfully. How long did that last? Did you check yourself? You could have probably used a stopwatch and clicked it about that fast. He said, and Jesus said, here's what Christ said to him. He said, verily I say unto you, there is what? No man that have left. Now here's the list. You should underline these and write them down. Here's the list. Because here's the things that we put before God in our life. Here it is. No man hath left house, brethren, sisters, father, mother, wife, children, land. He could just go on and on and on and on at the things that we put before Christ. And he said, no man hath done this for my sake or for the gospel's. Now, you might say, oh, I sacrificed. I didn't go here one third. I finally made it to Bible study because I didn't go here on a Thursday night or on a Sunday morning. I decided I'll brush this off because I'll go to church for the Lord. You didn't do it for Christ's sake. And you didn't do it for the gospel's sake. You done it for your own sake. And that's what he told Peter. No man has done it. So, let me start off by saying this, and it ain't going to make any of this any easier, so don't think it is. But let me make this statement. No sacrifice, okay, pay attention to this, that we make for the gospel or for the sake of Christ is not a loss. No sacrifice, okay, that ye make for Christ's sake or the gospel, it is not a loss because it is a spiritual investment in your relationship with God. You got that? How well, does any of you in here invest well? How well are you investing in your spiritual relationship with God? So that means in order for this to happen or take place, and this is what Christ was trying to tell Peter and the rest of the disciples, there has to be a total surrender required in order to follow Christ, and it's a total surrender that is rarely achieved. We just can't get there. So let me explain this real quick. So here's what it means, that sacrifice and surrender have to go way beyond me. Normally, everything is all about who? Me. So everything that I do, even though I say it's for the Lord, even though I'm helping somebody else, it's still all about who? Me. So if you want to have complete and whole sacrifice and surrender, it's got to go beyond that, way beyond that. So it means sacrificing and surrendering. Now listen to this. Sacrificing and surrendering anything and everything in our life, all of those things that we are affectionate and passionate about in our life. Do I need to go back and read the list? Everybody's going, oh, don't read that list again. But that's what he's talking about. All right? So those things, and I'm going to get to why he wants us to sacrifice those things for him, because a lot of people say, well, I ain't giving that up just to go to church, or I ain't giving that up just to go see so-and-so, or I ain't giving that up. So you're going to find out why God wants us to give that up to do those things that we're passionate about and give him complete control over in our life so that he can take care of it. So that he can take control of it. So that we allow him to be responsible for it. And why is that? Is because God knows. Let's go to 1 Peter real quick. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 8. Let me just read this. I don't want to say quoted or. So here's what he says in 1 Peter chapter 5, starting with verse 6. He says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Now listen to this part. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, he's not necessarily talking about you or I as a believer, but he is talking about those things that we are passionate about. If he can't get to you personally, then whatever it is you're passionate about, now let me lead, I'm going to read this list again because I want it to sink in. He says, house, brethren, now we're going to get personal, sisters, father, we're going to get more personal. Mother, wife, we're going to get even more personal. Children, grandchildren, see how personal it gets? If we are not turning those things over to the Lord, the devil, I'm going to go back to 1 Peter again, the devil who is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, he is going to take those things that we will not let God protect, and he is going to use those things against us in our relationship with him. So now all of a sudden, oh, I can't go to church Sunday. My grandkid has the sniffle. See what the devil's using, because we put that before God. So we have to think about this in our life in Christ. You and I cannot protect any of these things. Only God can. But yet, we hang on to them with our dear life trying to protect them. And because of it, our relationship with God suffers. Now, when God had this written, because I can just hear people's thoughts. You think I'm going to abandon my family to go to church? You got something coming. Does anybody in here have that thought? Yeah, don't raise your hand. Okay? But we have those thoughts. So God wasn't speaking about abandoning anything. He's just teaching us to prioritize. He didn't say we couldn't do those things. He just said we need to prioritize those things so that he's always first in our life. Oh, you understand that? Okay? He doesn't want our relationship with him to suffer. He doesn't want Satan to be able to use these things against us. He doesn't want, as Satan uses these things against us, he doesn't want our relationship with him to fall apart. But he still wants us to have all those things. We just have to learn to put him first. And you know, when you start putting God first, yeah, you might miss a few events, and you might miss this, or you might miss out on that, but He'll eventually get us on track where you'll be able to do that and have a relationship with Him at the same time. But His relationship has to come first. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, let me go read this verse to you, because this is a very good, everybody loves this verse, the second part of this verse. But here's what He said. Here's what Christ Himself said. And I'm going to read this, just the second part of the verse. His righteousness and all things shall be added unto you. Whee! I'm ready. Well, no, wait, let me read the first part. There's always a but. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay? I want everything added unto me. I'm not very good at seeking first the kingdom of God, because I just think, how, and I'm just going to use church as an example. How, so go home and write down how many hours a week you spend in church and how many hours a week you spend in the world, and tell me how that works out for you. Okay? So He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. So what's He talking about? That means trusting in God to take care of everything in our life that we worry about. And it is a sin to worry. And how many of you have worried already this morning? Am I the only one raising my hand? Sure. So when we turn these things over to God and we quit worrying about them, then we're going to find that inner peace that He's trying to align us with His will. And it's a, this salvation, it's a great value to us if we'll only do the things that He wants us to do. So we must seek after our salvation. We must live in our obedience to Him. We must share this with others. This is a description of a true believer. Those who are tarrying, waiting to be endued with power from on high, this is a description of that true believer. Those who seek after God, those who are obedient to God, those who share the Word of God with others. So now we're allowing ourselves to be strengthened by this power that He is going to endue us with. So I'm going to give you an example this morning, and then we'll quit. I'm going to give you an example. If you go over with me to the book of Acts, I'm going to show you what happens when we put God first. And this is very important that this takes place in our life. So go over with me to the book of Acts, chapter 2. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's just, it's too much. But it's when you read down through chapter 2, it's when the Holy Spirit was given. But jump down with me to verse 38. And here's the first thing that takes place. And Peter said unto them, repent. First and most important. Anything else that's coming first in your life other than somebody's salvation, we're doing it all wrong. So first and foremost, it's repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So listen to this next part, because this is going to prove everything that we've been saying. For this promise, now this is the promise of repentance and the promise of the indwelling Holy Spirit. This promise is given to you, to me. What's it say next? It's given to your children. So these people that you're trying to protect, that you cannot protect, if you turn them over to God, He said, this promise is then given to them. You're more than likely going to see them come to salvation if you quit trying to do it yourself and just turn it over to God and let Him lead you in doing it. Okay? So it's given to you, it's given your children, and to all that are afar off. And who is all that are afar off? Everybody that the Lord our God shall call. And God, as far as I know, has called everybody. There's not one person that he has not called. So jump on down to me, with me. Jump on down to verse 42. And here's what we're going to learn to do. It says, they continue steadfastly in doctrine and in fellowship. What does that tell you? See, we could bring that verse in now that says, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We could bring that into play now. Because this is what tarry ye means. That we continue steadfastly in doctrine. And the doctrine we're talking about is the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I ain't talking about some foolish church doctrines that are out there. And he says, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And it said, when they begin to do this, fear came upon every soul. Now, we're not talking about worldly fear. We're talking about godly fear, which is reverence to the Lord. Came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done. All right? So they were seeing people saved. They were seeing all these things were happening. And he said, all that believed were together and had all things common. And they begin to share with one another. Not just spiritually, but they begin to share worldly possessions and things that they had. So they begin to come together in unity. And it said in 46, and they, listen to this, they continued how often? Every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for an hour. Does any of your Bible say that? Yeah, mine doesn't either. They continued daily, every day, with one accord, in the temple, breaking bread, going from house to house. They did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were praising God. They were having favor. Everybody was happy with one another. We didn't have all this confusion in the church, all this, I don't like what they did. We didn't have all that. So he said, and here, look else what happened. He said, listen to this. And the Lord added to the church, not the church, this single church. The Lord added to the body of Christ daily, every day, such as should be said. Saved. You ask some of these churches today, when's the last time that somebody was saved in your congregation? And the first thing they ask is, what does that mean, being saved? And you know why? It's because we're not doing any of this. We're not tarrying. We're not waiting upon the power of God. We're not turning everything over to the Lord. We're just going along doing our own thing, hoping that one day before the Lord comes, all of our friends and family and loved ones will be saved and we'll all go to heaven together. How likely of a fairy tale is that? So this promise to tarry, this commandment to tarry, it's a divine gift given unto us by God. But it's only going to happen within the lives of those who are obedient and listen. So that means, let's say, out of a church of 200, you might get half a dozen. Sad to say, isn't it? But now when you start getting more and more people in the church to do it, then you can see it begin to extend out. It extends out to families, to friends, to loved ones, to all those around us. And you begin to see this willingness to be able to want this willingness to tarry, if we'll do it, it has a lasting effect. Because you or I didn't initiate it, God did. Anything we initiate is temporary. When God initiates it, this is a call to action that comes from God that encourages us to fervently seek after Him. And He has empowered it by the indwelling Holy Spirit because He promised that He would do that for us if we would tarry. So we must understand that it's God. Human efforts can't save anybody. It has to come from God. Only God can add people to the church, the body of Christ. And it's a this spiritual growth, it's a divine action that has nothing to do with us. You can have dinner after dinner, social gathering after social gathering, but if it's not a divine act from God, it's not going to do any good. It has to come from God. Spiritual growth and unity has to come from God. So, and that's what encourages others to become a part of the family of God. It's not what you or I do. It's what God does through us. And this only happens when we begin to position ourselves in Christ, the way that God wants us to be, and not just position ourselves there, but keep ourselves positioned there through our service to Him. That's why a lot of times you see, oh, they were Christian for many years and then they fell away. How come? Because they laxed off in their service to God. And once you begin to do it, it's easy to just keep doing it. We can only do it by the spiritual empowerment that comes through the Spirit of the Lord. God is the one that gives us the ability to advance His message of His saving grace to the world. But first of all, we have to learn to tarry. We have to learn to tarry through prayer. We have to learn to tarry through the study of God's Word. We have to learn to sacrifice some worldly things that we're passionate and affectionate about. We have to learn to do that. We have to quit putting a lot of other activities first and put God first in our life. And then once God begins to see the faith of our service in Him, the trust that we're putting in Him, then He's going to work all those other things out. It has to start with us. It has to start with each and every one of us and the choices that we make in our life. But tarry ye until ye be endued with power from on high. Let that sink in a little bit this morning, and let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this beautiful day that you've given us. We're thankful, Lord, for the opportunities that you allow us in our life. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, that we learn more so each day to turn things over to thee, Heavenly Father. Lord, to put you first in our life, so that each and everything that we say and we do, Heavenly Father, would have something to do with the joy of the salvation that we have in you. We just pray today, Lord, that as we ask to faithfully follow after the leadership and the guidance of your Holy Spirit, you would help us, Lord, to always be found doing those things that pleases you. Those works, Heavenly Father, that we do would be works that you do through each and every one of us, so that others may see the goodness of your salvation within us. Continue, Lord, to be with us. Continue, Lord, to remind us to tarry for you, to wait for the power of your Holy Spirit before we do things in our life. And Lord, to always put you first ahead of everything else. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give you praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, Thursday evening Bible study. We're going to be finishing up on the church, the Laodicea Church of the Laodiceans. and then we're going to do a quick review of the first lesson in the little book that we're going to give a try, the one called The Purple Book. If you don't have one, we have some extra copies.
It's called Sin and Salvation.
The sins and what?
Salvation.
Sins and Salvation is the name of the first lesson.
Yes.
Sins and Salvation. So,
and then you got a question and review.
Yeah, we had a review question, and that was what? Remind me.
Why was two angels standing?
Oh, yeah. That was my question. How did I forget that?
Oh, you mean you forgot your own question?
I wrote it down, though. I think it was in the book of Mark.
Okay, one at the head and one at the foot.
There was two angels. When they went to the tomb, he recollects two angels, one sitting at the foot and one sitting at the head of where Christ had lain. Yeah. Give me a little bit of something on that. And then there was another question, I think, too.
Well, the one you gave today. Well, what was their names?
What was their names? It doesn't say their names. It don't say their names.
No. No, they just called one by
okay. Anybody else?
Oh,
yeah. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. We were moving on to, that's the last two or three verses in Revelation chapter 3, right? Chapter 3.
You want that one there too?
Well, that's just where we're at, if you want to put that there. So, okay. If you're going to bring something Sunday or send something, just message Nancy and let her know. Anything that else that we need, we'll just go pick up. So we want to make sure we have plenty of stuff. I don't know the number that might be here Sunday at 2 o'clock for Ruby's celebration of life, but we'll make sure we have plenty of stuff. So, but if you do want to bring something or send something, that's fine. Anything else? Okay, I made y'all mad, so let's stand and praise the Lord three times. Let you go to dinner. Is everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.